If we all stand in honor of the Holy Scriptures, it's Genesis chapter 19, verse 1 through 3. And there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom, and Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, "Behold, now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and ye shall rise up early and go on your ways." And they said, "Nay, but we will abide in the street all night." And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him and entered into his house. And he made them a feast and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. You may be seated. Thus begins the story of the destruction of Sodom, along with the three other cities that were close by. All four towns were lying in one of the most fertile areas of the world. Most people don't realize that. It has been compared as to being close to the fertility of the Garden of Eden. And that's in the Bible. Two angels came to town while Lot was sitting in the entrance of the city. What did Lot do when he saw them? All right, class. Did he A, shake their hands? B, watch them go by? C, bow down to them with his face to the ground and offer them to stay all night in his home? Or D, offer them the place to stay in a local inn? How did Lot recognize that they were angels? The Bible doesn't tell us, but it says that when they turned down his proposal, which was number C, was the correct answer, which is listed above, he made another request for them to go and stay at his home where he had fixed them a large, delicious meal. This offer was accepted by the two angels. But shortly after the feast, before they lay down for the evening, they experienced some tribulation. Oh, we're experiencing tribulation, aren't we? Everyone, you have to experience tribulation. All the men, old, middle-aged, and young, of the city of Sodom, that must have been a large crowd, came to Lot's house and asked for the men, who were really angels, to come out to them so that they may know them. I have a question. What does the phrase, "so that they may know them," mean? Lot went out of his door and shut it with the two angels inside his house. He tried to reason with the men by saying that they should not be so wicked. So the phrase had to do with some wickedness. Then he offered to them his two daughters who were virgins and told them to do what was good in their eyes. They flatly refused that offer and began to get rough with Lot. It seems that Lot was offering his two virgin daughters in place of the two angels. The discussion got so heated between Lot and the men of Sodom that the two angels opened the door and pulled Lot into the house and shut the door. The men of Sodom were still outside the door, but were now very agitated. They were plotting to break down the door. They were determined to get to the two, quote unquote, men. But the angels smote the homosexual perverted men that were at the door with blindness. So they wearied themselves trying to find where the door was located. Then the angels told Lot that he and his family needed to get out of this city before the night was over. Now, can you imagine that? Last night we had bad storms. They were saying get in a room in the basement or get into the best room. But they said you had to evacuate your home. Like the guy knocked on Dan's trailer, you got to get out of here. You have to get out of Dodge before the morning. They, the two angels, would destroy the cities in the very early morning. Lot had just enough time to get the remainder of his family out of town before it would be destroyed. He quickly told his sons-in-laws that was about to happen, and for them and their wives, which was his daughters, to join them in the early morning escape. But they felt that Lot was mocking them. So they and his married daughters remained in the city that was going to be turned into ashes in just a few hours. They were destroyed along with everyone else who remained. Shortly before dawn the next morning, the two angels led Lot, his wife, and his two virgin daughters to safety out of the city. A shower of fire and brimstone came out of the heavens and almost instantly turned the cities and land into nothing more than huge cliffs of remains made up of brimstone and ashes. I have a question. Who caused the sudden and unusual destruction? The Bible says, Genesis 19, verses 24 and 25, then Yahweh, the Lord, rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from Yahweh out of heaven. And he, referring to the Lord, overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. The Bible says it was the Lord God who brought the rain upon Sodom, Gomorrah, Admah, and Zeboim. It wasn't an enemy country or a random act of nature. It was the future covenant Lord God who turned the beautiful, fertile plain into a desolate land in a very, very, very short time. The two angels commanded Lot's family not to look back until they got to the mountains. But Lot negotiated with them. He really begged. And it was decided that they would go to the small town of Zoar. Thus Zoar was spared in the major quick destruction. But his wife broke the commandment to not look back, and she immediately died. Lot and his uncle had been separated several times during their lives. They were uncle and nephew who had traveled together from Ur to Haran to the land of Canaan and had spent a lot of time together. When Lot was with Abram, he became very prosperous. When he left him and went on his own, the opposite happened. He lost everything. They both were cattle owners. They had so many cattle that the land could not sustain them all as a strife developed between the two men's herdsmen. So Abram gave Lot the choice of whether to stay where they were located or move to the more fertile land near Sodom. Lot chose to move to the area near Sodom. Abram would take what Lot didn't choose. So Adam remained in less fertile land. He did not go near Sodom, but was in Hebron. Oh, that's right down the road. Hebron. Or Mamre. Here's a map. Here's Mamre or Hebron, where Abraham's residence was. What's this here? This is the Dead Sea. It's full of salt. What a very unusual, a inward lake that has salt. Salt Lake City's one. This is one. I wonder where that came from. Now, where was Sodom and Gomorrah? There's a lot of confusion of where it is. This guy says Sodom was here, Gomorrah here. There's Zoar. These are the five cities. What about Zoar? This is where he was here. He fled to Zoar. Then he went to the mountains. Didn't stay in Zoar very long. Zoar was spared. One, two, three, four cities. Some say it's underneath the lake. But there's all brimstone deposits. That lightning hit that land and it just went up. Brimstone was a very important commodity. And they sold that brimstone. It was used in the building trade. Anyway, the map showing where Abraham and Lot separate to. So Abraham and Lot was somewhere over here. This is very fertile land at one time. When it caught on fire, Abraham was here. He could see the smoke coming up. While Lot was living in Sodom, this was before the destruction, of course, four kings of Sinar, Eleazar, and Elam made war against the kings of Sodom, Gomorrah, Admon, Zeboim, and Zoar, the five cities that were facing sudden destruction. So four kings came against these five cities and just took everyone captive and all their, stole all their goods. Abraham with his 318 servants. Now, how many servants do you have? Conquered the four kings and brought back Lot and the inhabitants of the conquered cities and all their goods. Now, that's quite a story. We haven't got time to tell it, but that's quite something. Abram and his 318 servants conquered the four kings. In fact, Abraham rescued everyone and everything that was taken by the four kings. It was a miracle. It was the Lord God who fought the battle. That's why, I don't know why you're worried about all these tanks and weapons that go through walls, bombs and blurry. Hey, Lord, our Lord God, he's a long-time fighter. Abram didn't lose any men, nor were any wounded. Kind of sounds like the Battle of Blood River. It was a complete victory. The king of Sodom was so grateful that he told Abram that he could keep the goods to himself and just return all the people who were kidnapped. Now, suppose you were Abram and you were given that offer. What would you say? You keep all the goods. There's a lot of effort to go there. Abram declined the offer, but said he would not take anything that was not his, except what the young man had eaten, and of the men which went with him, that they would be allowed to take their portion. He wouldn't take any. Don't you think that Abram was the hero of the cities which were about to be destroyed? Don't you think that the inhabitants of these five cities were grateful to Abram for his miraculous rescue? He saved their lives from a life of slavery and or a slow death. But do you think that Abram would have rescued and saved these wicked people if Lot and his family weren't also kidnapped? After this great victory, when the Lord God, which the Lord God really won, Melchizedek, who was the king of Salem, which became Jerusalem, brought forth bread and wine and blessed Abram. And after Abram refused any spoils of the victory, God heard Abram's complaint that he was childless and didn't have anyone to give his inheritance to that was of his family. Thus God instituted his covenant with him. After the covenant with Abram was made, what happened? He was visited by three men, the Lord God and the two angels. They told him about what they were going to do about the evilness that was in Sodom and Gomorrah and the three other nearby towns in the valley of the Jordan. Abram knew that his nephew Lot was living in Sodom, and he asked of them, "Will you destroy the righteous with the wicked? What if there were just 50 righteous people in those cities? Would you destroy it?" They answered that they wouldn't. Then Abram said, "Would you destroy the cities if there were 40 righteous? Then 30 righteous, then 20 righteous, then finally 10 righteous. Would God destroy Greater Cincinnati if there were 10 righteous people?" Well, that's not very many. They agreed that if there were 10 righteous people in all five cities, then they would not destroy them. So much for democracy. So the Lord went his way, and the two angels went to visit Lot in Sodom. After the major upheaval that occurred in Sodom, and I would say it was a major upheaval, there certainly were not even 10 righteous men in the cities. The verdict was that they were to be destroyed. Well, who were the men of Sodom and Gomorrah and the neighboring towns descended from? They were descended from Canaan, Genesis chapter 10, verse 19, who was the son of Ham, who was the son of Noah. Remember, Ham had a sexual relationship with Noah's wife, and the son of this incestuous rape was cursed. Canaan married unto the unholy seed of the Kenites and was forever cursed. His offspring was guilty of practicing all these wicked ways and caused them to be instantly burned up. What was the prevailing sin in these five cities? Sodomy comes from the word Sodom. Gonorrhea comes from the word Gomorrah. It gives us a good clue. It was full of sexual perversions. Proponents point to the apparent demand by the men of Sodom for Lot's daughters to come out of the house so they can forcibly have homosexual intercourse with them. In other words, the men of Sodom wanted to rape the men or the angels in Lot's house. However, there are scholars, who claim that the passage is not referring to rape or any acts of sexual immorality at all. The sin of Sodom, according to these people, is their inhospitable attitude towards strangers. But it's just an excuse. It was a deviant sexual behavior. But throughout history, Sodom and Gomorrah has been used as metaphors for rape, homosexuality, lesbianism, sexual immorality, race mixing, transgenderism, and sexual deviance. Jude chapter 1, verse 7. This is New Testament. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. The four cities in the plain of Jordan were for an example. What example were they? The word example means exhibited for warning. It seems like it is an example or a warning that the United States should consider, as America is getting very close to what was happening in these wicked cities. Remember, Sodom and Gomorrah should be our battle cry. Isaiah chapter 3, verse 9. The show of their countenance that's witnessed against them, and they declare their sin as Sodom. They hide it not. Woe unto their soul, for they have rewarded evil unto themselves. Sodom didn't hide their sin. They declared it. They paraded it all around town. Is America hiding their sin? Well, they used to. It used to be against the law. Are the homosexuals still in the closet? Or have they opened the door and now are parading in full view of everyone? Are they hiding with guilt? Or are they still full of pride that they are, as they demand equal rights with the rest of the world? Look at what one of America's most popular female singers did as she promoted her new album during Pride Month. June is Pride Month, by the way. Anybody know who that is? Taylor Swift. Taylor Swift got political and reaffirmed her support for the LGBT community on stage at the 2019 iHeartRadio Wango Tango show, Saturday, June the 1st, at the start of Pride Month. The Wango Tango. She got political because she says she don't like what Trump's doing with the LGBT community. And she, it's in the rest of this article, what the hell she did. She was wearing a pastel rainbow-colored outfit. Go back to the picture. See? Rainbow-colored outfit. Wearing a pastel rainbow-colored outfit, the pop star told the crowd. Here's what she said. A lot of my songs are about love, and I just feel like who you love, how you identify, you should be able to live your life the way you want to live your life and to have the same exact rights as everybody else. And I'm sure the crowd roared in approval. That is exactly the argument that the unholy seed makes. Should you be able to live your life the way that you want to live your life and have the same rights as everyone else, or should you follow what your Lord God commands you is right or wrong? Did the men of Sodom and Gomorrah have the same rights as the people of the Lord God? Why was Lot and his family allowed to escape and they weren't? Taylor Swift sent a letter to Republican Senator Lamar Alexander, is his name, asking him to support the Equality Act. Does Taylor mean that anyone can live their lives any way they want and they would have the same rights? If that were true, then why were Sodom and Gomorrah and the other two cities destroyed as an example or warning to us? What is the warning? Taylor Swift's latest song has a new target. Homophobes. Oh, she's targeting us. Coinciding with the announcement of her seventh album, the name is Lover, the pop star recently, last week, released a new tune called You Need to Calm Down, where she addresses her own haters, but calls out those who attack the LGBTQ community. Lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgendered, and questioning. That's the people that are questioning whether they're queer or not. At one point, Taylor Swift sings, I was going to put the song on the, play it here, but it's just too much. She sings, and control your urges to scream about all the people you hate. Cause shade never made anyone less gay. At another point she sings, you need to just stop, can you just not step on his gown? That'd be his wedding gown. Another quote from the song, Swift even references the gay rights organization GLAAD, Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation, when she sings, quote, why are you mad when you could be glad? Sunshine on the street at the parade. And Saturday they're going to march down Cincinnati. Hope it's pouring down rain. But you would rather be in the dark ages. Making that sign must have taken all night. She's dedicated a song some fans interpret as a love song to her best friend, secret lover, Carly Kloss. Or is it to the pioneering lesbian dancer, Loie Fuller? The uncharitable explanation for all this queer signaling is that Swift is trying to profit off the intrigue about her sexuality by giving queer fans just enough material to keep them interested while never really actually coming out because she doesn't want to hurt her career because she knows she's straight. I have seen where they've brought in a lot of money from this song. So Taylor Swift is in favor of the LGBTQs and disagrees with the Lord God of Israel. Then the next thing that happened, well, I was reading a newspaper at work during dinner, and I noticed an article on the opinion page. I was reading the June 3rd, 2019, Lexington Herald Leader newspaper, and it came upon an article written by Amber G. Duke. The title of the article was, quote, "One Weekend in Louisville and Two Protests, but Hate Did Not Win," unquote. She wrote that she had spent 2 hours on the steps of the main branch of the Louisville Free Public Library and at the EMW Women's Clinic as part of a counter-protest. A counter-protest, I thought. A counter-protest of what? Well, quote, "The library was hosting its first drag queen story time with Vanessa Demernay, and a group of folks started an online campaign to get the event canceled. When that effort failed, they announced a protest at the library on the day of the event," unquote. I found that very interesting, so I read on. She was protesting the protesters. Her job is the communications director at the ACLU, the American Civil Rights Union of Kentucky. Her organization, quote, joined the Derby City Sisters. That's a group formed to allow members of the LGBTQ to not feel inferior. They paint their face white and do all kind of crazy stuff. And the Fairness Campaign. They say until full equity for all is achieved, the Fairness Campaign will continue the fight. For the counter-protest, so the children would see friendly faces amongst the protesters and police as they walk into the library, unquote. Remember, it was the ACLU in one of its earliest battles that recruited a substitute teacher, John T. Scopes, to challenge the law in Tennessee that they had passed banning the teaching of evolution. When Scopes was eventually prosecuted, the ACLU partnered with celebrant attorney Clarence Darrow to defend him. They're admitting the ACLU did that. Although Scopes was found guilty, the verdict was later overturned because of a sentencing error. The trial made national headlines and helped the public see that Jewish control of the nation was beginning. The protesters caught on the video that Duke shot found that many were both the protest at the library and in front of the EMW Women's Clinic, the last remaining abortion clinic in the Commonwealth. Amber wrote that the protesters had set up loudspeakers and used megaphone to quote, oh, Bible verses. They were quoting Bible verses against aborticide and the LGBT community. The protesters were made up mainly of members of the American Family Association. She left this information out of her article. And several conservative local pastors and their congregations who peacefully protested the meeting. She left that out of the article. Why were protesters shouting and broadcasting Bible verses? Because the Bible tells us the Lord God hates the way of the heathen. Hate. You don't have sex with a cow or a dog, or an individual of another race, or an individual of the same gender. And how can you marry an individual of the same gender if you can annul a marriage on the grounds of impotence if one partner refuses to consummate the marriage? No marriage of the same gender can produce children. God hates these relationships. I know a man whose son is a homosexual and he disowned him. Hard to do. Then Amber adds, quote, the people who just hours before were yelling at people entering the clinic, don't kill your baby, "Don't commit murder today, ma'am," were the same people who were yelling at parents walking the children in the story time, "You hate that child. You are corrupting that child." Has anybody been to an abortion clinic? I've been. Man, you ought to hear what the people are saying. Amber, who is an individual of color, has turned things 180 degrees around. She didn't say what Bible verses were read at the protest meetings, but the fact that there were protests, but the fact that there were Bible verses read against them says something about who is right and who is wrong. Now let us look at who Vanessa DeMore is and what the first drag queen story time was all about. Here's a picture of her. Oh, maybe it's him. It's a him who's dressed up as a her. Vanessa DeMore, whose real name is Mikhail Schwartz, Ashkenazi Jew, hosted the first ever drag queen story time at the Louisville Free Public Library in Pride Month, June 2019. Just happened a week or so ago. They have now approached Cincinnati's libraries for a similar day. It started a couple years ago in the city of San Francisco. Where else would it start? DeMore has earned numerous accolades and titles in the current Midwest All-American Goddess. Patterned after events in other cities, Drag Queen Storyline is designed to celebrate diversity and inclusion and promote self-acceptance. I've heard that for about 40 years, starting in the public school system. Diversity and inclusion. It is our strength. Here's a quote from Mika Schultz. I had a sheltered childhood and wasn't exposed to many things, and it would have been life-changing to have met a drag queen. DeMore adds, quote, "I want to show children that it's okay to be exactly who you are, to wear exactly what you want, and not to be afraid to show the world your true colors," unquote. Sounded like Taylor Swift. So is she saying that it's okay to wear short pants to a wedding? Or a tank top to the opera? That's okay for a boy or a man to dress like a girl or a woman, or vice versa? Were the protesters shouting this Bible verse at the library session? Deuteronomy 22:5. The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man. Neither shall a man put on a woman's garment. For all that do are abomination unto the Lord thy God. Would you say that America is falling in the mistake of Sodom and Gomorrah? And in many ways, it's surpassing them. Are they ignoring the warning of what happened? What's this? Cincinnati Bell Pride Month post-it mural in the windows of Atrium 2 in downtown Cincinnati, June 13, 2000. That's 3 days ago. Cincinnati Bell employees this week didn't use post-it notes like they usually do. You know, to jot down reminders and stick it up at their desk. Instead, in honor of LGBTQ Pride Month, more than 100 Cincinnati Bell employees used the sticky notes to create a pride mural on the north side of company's Atrium 2 headquarters. This is what Atrium 2 in downtown Cincinnati looks like till the end of Pride Month of June. So the end of June, they'll take them down. UC to join Cincinnati Pride Parade and Festival. Students, employees, and community members invited to participate in the celebration. We're all invited. With support of the LGBTQ Center And the LGBTQ Faculty and Staff Association, the University of Cincinnati, UC, is officially participating in the 2019 Cincinnati Pride Parade and Festival on Saturday, June 22nd. Oh, this coming Saturday. All students, staff, faculty, alumni, friends, and families are invited to register to walk the parade route and join the celebration. The first 100 people to register will receive a free Pride t-shirt. The parade will kick off at the corner of 7th and Central at 11 a.m. The festival follows at noon at Sawyer Point. Stop by UC's booth for giveaways and more. Save the date. Cincinnati Pride, walk with UC in the parade, 6/22/19. Hey, this is getting serious. All this is happening right around here. Joining Cincinnati Pride in official capacity demonstrates UC's commitment to the inclusion of everyone, regardless of sexual orientation and gender identity, and celebrates the university's LGBTQ plus community. I added, it doesn't matter to us if they are an abomination to the Lord God of Israel. They are equal with everyone else. And it's true with all universities. In the past year, the university has made great strides in the LGBTQ plus visibility and inclusion. UC recently received a 4.5 out of 5-star rating in the Campus Pride Index, the national listing of LGBTQ-friendly colleges and universities. So if you're queer, you go to UC, they're very friendly. Hey, there's a war going on. There's a war going on. You know who it is against? It's the seed of the serpent versus the seed of the woman. It has been going on for over 6,000 years. And the fighting is coming to a climax. More and more corporations are siding on the wrong side. They are denying what the Lord our God warned us about. Learn not the way of the heathen. Which side are you on? There was a small victory, and it happened in the enemy's backyard. Did you hear about this? It happened in Oberlin College. Oberlin College was founded in 1833 by two Presbyterian ministers with the help of evangelist Charles Finney, who said he would only help if the college admitted Negroes as students. Finney served as one of its professors and then was offered its presidency in 1851. Finney was professor of systematic theology, even though he had no degree. He had no formal training, but apprenticed under the theologian George Washington Gale, enough to be licensed by the Presbyterians to preach, though he later rejected much of which he was taught. He was a lawyer turned minister evangelist. He was the New Light Presbyterianism, which was attempting a liberal replacement. It was not enough that Finley destroyed the Reformed faith, but he had to destroy the moral backbone of the nation too. His was a humanistic, emotional, man-centered theology rejecting the Reformed faith. He encouraged women to help pave the way for the feminist movement. And under his influence, Oberlin College integrated colors and liberated and empowered women. This was the school that supported the Underground Railroad. And that also supported three colored students who got into some difficulties at the local bakery. One black student shoplifted wine at the local bakery and used a fake ID, and two other blacks aided in an assault. The owner of the store's son tried to keep the thief at bay until the police arrived, which led to the vice president, dean of students, a known lesbian, inciting the campus to participating in the smear campaign against the bakery for racial profiling. It seems the other college administrators either gave their approval or turned a blind eye to it. During all the trouble, the bakery lost a lot of business, so they sued and they won over $11 million. Overton College has a woman rabbi who strives to foster a vibrant Jewish community, meaning the students feel included and energized around their Jewish identity and practice. In addition, Overton College's current president is a black woman who is married to a black Muslim. Overton is also known for its liberal attitude towards sexuality and gender expression. Overton has been consistently ranked among the friendliest college campuses for LGBT students. What has happened to this college? It has gone from bad to worse. And it also is instrumental in the Civil War, by the way. LGBT for Hillary. Coffee mug for sale. Underneath it, they said, quote, "The LGBT community will not stand for a president of the United States who wants to deny them their rights. Show off your undying support for Hillary Clinton with this LGBT rainbow Hillary Clinton mug. Our 15-ounce mug features large handles for easy gripping and wraparound print. These heavy-duty mugs are both dishwasher and microwave safe, printed in the USA," unquote. Which side are you on? Do you believe Sodom and Gomorrah and the three neighboring cities, Taylor Swift, Cincinnati Bell, University of Cincinnati, Oberlin College, Hillary Clinton, etc., that are all following what Aleister Crowley said was his "the most wicked man on the earth" motto? "Do what thou wilt shall be the whole of the law." Or sola scriptura, the cry of the Protestant revolution. What the Word of God says is how we are to live our lives. "Obey my commands and you shall be blessed." Deuteronomy 28 verse 1. "And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee high above all nations of the earth." Truth against the world. Where did I hear that? Truth against the world. To be continued. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel.